I love it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, sir.
All right, come on,
America, the signature. Here we go. He has that shot. Oh, my God.
Oh, they waved it off. Wow. Sorry, America.
Hey. It's amazing. We're live.
Getting animated.
Man. We are getting, I mean, it's like, we're trying to, like, host a show, watch the finals. Man, we can do it. We can do it, man.
Yeah, we'll be doing it live with the draft next week, too.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, sir. It's my fault.
It's okay. Yeah, we're not going to blame you, JQ. It's all good, bro. Everyone's crazy busy, too. But it's Thursday. The only day we can fit this in, June the 16th, the month is flying by. But let's kind of kick in. Of course, we're talking sports 12th, man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host. They're not the Splash Brothers right now, but that's a whole other conversation too. But we'll keep moving here. First and foremost, JQ, how you feeling, sir? You all right, sir?
Yeah, man. Like I was telling my folks, I'm recuperating. I'm one of those idiots that stayed to watch a 14-inning game between two terrible baseball teams last night. So I'm trying to get it together, but I'm good.
That's good, man. Hey, that shows your support, man. A lot of love, man. So that's what it's all about. Rob, go ahead, man.
One thing I have to say, JQ, I respect your loyalty.
That's one word for it.
I respect your loyalty. Yeah, definitely. Mad respect, too, because like I said, that's taking it above and beyond. Because after like ninth inning, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, because it looked like you were literally the last person left in that stadium.
Hey, man, it was like
Thompson. Back-to-back 3-pointers.
It was like 12 of us. Mercy.
It's probably like 12 of you. Did you guys walk all the way up?
Yeah.
Did you get closer? Okay, that's what's up. Good deal. That's what's all. At least you got a chance to enjoy some baseball. Of course, gentlemen, family, friends, all that fun stuff. We're officially talking sports 12th, man. Let me throw out some numbers so we can get the show started. We're going to try to get through this episode without yelling too much. If you want to call, see your boys, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter. That Twitter handle is @12. THMAN Sports. And then finally, we're on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/12man sports, or if you type in Talking Sports 12 Man, you will find us as well. Rob likes to play jokes, man, so I'm going to throw it off to him, JQ, about the U.S. Open Media Board. So, Rob, this is all you, man. Just do your thoughts, man. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, today, the first day of the U.S. Open. Of course, Andrew Landry is getting off to the early start, the 28-year-old, 3 under par. He's only have a 1-stroke lead over Watson and Lee. So, of course, after one round, we got a really tight U.S. Open, of course. We'll see what happens in the next 3 rounds, and that's our U.S. Open update for the day.
that'll be the only U.S. Open update. Hey, let's get an update. I'm just messing with you, Rob. Let's get an update on the NBA Finals. It's about 9 minutes. Supposedly, it's only a 9-point game, so he hits that shot. I was about to say, man. Hey, JQ, your thoughts on a very interesting NBA Finals, because last week Rob predicted a sweep. That did not happen, but a lot of things have happened. The suspension, yada, yada, yada. We'll get into all that. But I guess you want to talk about your thoughts about this very interesting animated NBA Finals, sir.
Yeah, well, they left the door cracked with Draymond helping open the door, you know, punching people in the balls. You just can't keep doing that without getting suspended. I know people are mad about that, but, you know, at some point you got to say, come on, bro, you just can't keep punching people in the balls. But you got to give Cleveland credit right now for not rolling over. They went and still they had a little bit of advantage, and they got lucky, really, with Bogey getting hurt with the knee. Without Green being in that game, there was zero rim protection in game 5. But you get Draymond back now, even though with a hurt Bogey. You know, like you said, it's a 9-point game because they could always hit that 3 and get on a run and get back in the game. But you got to give them a lot of credit for not laying down and dying. You know, they don't want to have 2 years in a row where Golden State celebrates a championship on their floor. Not to say they're going to win this game, because 9-point game is anybody's game, given the way the Golden State can shoot. But I got to give them a lot of credit for the way they came out with, you know, a lot of desperation, a lot of energy. So we'll see. I took Cleveland at 7, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I will still give them a lot of credit for their fight.
Round 4.
Well, yeah, I think JQ covered it quite well there, and we obviously have an interesting game here right now. Klay Thompson just scored 8 straight points to end the third quarter and cut a 17-point lead down to 9. And of course, Golden State's on the 10-0 run as well, so this game is interesting again. And as JQ mentioned, Cleveland came out all guns blazed there in the first quarter, started off and ended the second quarter pretty strong as well. So we'll see what happens in this fourth quarter. Is anybody's game right now? Would love to see a game 7. Obviously, I'm pulling for Cleveland. Didn't think they would still be alive in the playoffs at this point. So just hoping for game 7 and see what happens on Sunday night.
So it's the NBA.
Rob Ford said that Klay Thompson has hit 8 straight points, and Klay Thompson has been silently kind of doing his thing, and I guess that begs the question, JQ, is there anything wrong with Steph Curry? Is he just kind of drawing a lot of defensive assignments? Or, I mean, he really hasn't had that breakout game like a LeBron or like Kyrie in the last game too, but do you think that's enough for him? I mean, to kind of like get – I mean, does he need to have that game, or is anything wrong with him, you think, or what are your thoughts about that?
I don't think that knee is right. If you look at him, he looks a little better today. Maybe the extra day rest gave him a little bit of help. But he looks like he doesn't have any lift. And I see it more apparent when he's driving to the basket and trying to get that floater up. He just doesn't have a whole lot of lift. But he has that ridiculous jump shot, and he knows how to make up for that lift by putting a little bit more arc, a little bit more oomph on it. But I just don't think he's right. And he's already said he's not going to Rio. I wouldn't be surprised if he had surgery on that knee in the offseason. I just laid up and didn't do anything. He's just not right. But still not being right, he's still, you know, he's hit some big threes in this game as well earlier on in the game. So I don't think he's fully healthy. And if you're Cleveland, you don't have a fully healthy Curry. You got Bogut hurt. You got Iguodala not being able to play due to back spasms. And they're still only up 9 points. That just tells you how ridiculously talented this Golden State team is, because that happens to just about anybody else. You know, they would still be down 20-some points, and it would be a whole lot of garbage time.
Rob, they use some boxing terms. It's like Cleveland keeps throwing haymaker after haymaker after haymaker, and, like, Golden State just, like, taking it. Just taking it. What do you think? What's your thoughts? Something wrong with Steph Curry? Or did kind of JQ kind of hit it on the head there?
Well, you know, just a response to what JQ just mentioned here, that the three-point game is the three-point ball just keeps Golden State in games. And the way they shoot the three-point ball is just, as you saw at the end of that third quarter, Klay Thompson come down and hit 2 deep threes, and they're right back in this game. That's the great equalizer for the Golden State Warriors. And you look at Steph Curry's stats in this game, and he's having he's very solid. He's very solid in this game thus far. The two losses, of course, Steph Curry was almost non-existent in the series, but he's having a solid game tonight. He had a solid game 4 in Cleveland where he had 38 points. So he's had some games where he just kind of have some head scratchers. Also, I think Cleveland's been very physical with him, too. I think he's just not used to that. You don't see that kind of physicality during the regular season. And so I think that's taken a little bit away from him. And as JQ mentioned as well, he's probably still not 100%. And you got to realize, too, last year, even with a depleted Cleveland team, Steph Curry was not the MVP of that finals. It was Andre Iguodala. And so I think at this level, I think Cleveland has found – so if you remember last year in the finals, Matthew Dellavedova was real physical with Steph Curry and got him out of his game in quite a few of those games. And Cleveland is doing a little bit of the same, but he still has solid numbers.
Yeah, you really haven't seen Dellavedova so far tonight, it seems like, if I'm not mistaken. It seems like they're just kind
of
going
series,
full guns blazing. Yeah, he's been a little out. So, you know, but, you know, they're on – Cleveland is definitely in attack mode, man. Like you said, JQ, too, seems like they keep taking all these haymakers, and they're still in this, too, as well. So, yeah, anything else you want to follow up with that? JQ, are you good?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I think we touched on all of it.
Cool. A lot of respect to Rob Ford here for posting the mock draft on the Talking Sports with 12 Men Facebook page. Pretty good mock draft, so I don't know if there's anything you want to highlight, Rob, if you're ready to talk about that as we're moving along.
Well, just a couple of changes, of course. You know, of course, just starting off with JQ's Lakers. I'm actually out here in Los Angeles trying to catch up with Mitch Kupchak. Been hard to catch up
okay.
with, but Brandon Ingram, of course, I still have him on the page here for the Lakers. A few minor changes. Move Buddy Hield up to number 3 to Boston. Bender down to Phoenix at 4. I got move Chris Dunn up to 5 to Minnesota. Jamal Murray, I have him going number 6 to the Pelicans. I know he's actually coming down to New Orleans this Saturday for a workout. Got a chance to talk to Dell Demps on yesterday to pick his brain a little bit on where he kind of sees some players for the Pelicans. And also –
Did you really?
And, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice, cool.
Yeah, and
cool.
Wade Baldwin. I still have him going 21 to your Hawks. And just real quickly, we'll get through some of the teams 11 to 20. Orlando, have him going Jakin Poeltl, the big center from Utah, solid fundamentally. The June Murray guard from Washington, combo guard, have him going 12 to Utah. 13, Phoenix, big Deontay Davis from the Big Ten. I'm sure you're familiar with him, JQ. 14, Chicago, Scale LeBrocher, big man from Kentucky. The guy's got a lot of talent, still a little raw. You know, coming out of high school last year, a lot of people thought he had potential to be number one pick in this draft. He's not quite there yet. He's got, you know, tremendous athletic ability, but he's got to work on his fundamentals of the game. 15, Denver, Denzel Valentine. Boston, 16, Demetrius Jackson, point guard from Notre Dame. Memphis, Fekir Korkmaz, shooting guard from Turkey, can really shoot the ball. You know, something that Memphis really needs, somebody that can knock down a three ball. Detroit, small forward from France. Timothy Luwazu, and also 19, Denver, Bryce Johnson. We all know an athletic big man from North Carolina. And number 20, the guy who came on in the NCAA tournament, guard from Syracuse, Malachi Richardson.
Wow.
I'm just impressed. I'm just impressed you were able to say Skyler Bassier and Fakwa Kazma from Turkey. So good job, man.
I know, right?
About that, JQ. I give man, Good.
I was going to say, he's going to get Fran Fraschilla and Ron for his money with those pronunciations. You go out and get it, bro.
Those international players, right? Yeah. I don't think I'm as good as Fran when it comes to pronunciation of someone's international players. I'll give him his props.
Yeah, I think me and Dre are with you on Hill moving up. I think he just gets buckets, and he may be a little undersized, but it's somewhere always for somebody in the NBA that can get buckets like that in a you know, quasi-week draft. And it's, for me, it's the big man from Kentucky, his fall from grace. You know, at one point early on, he was constantly being thrown up there in the top two, top three, even the top pick. And for him to fall that far is just amazing for, you know, for him given all the hype that he had. Malachi from Syracuse, you know, I think he's still going to keep moving up because, I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of great tape, but that NCAA tournament tape that he put on, a lot of GMs, they won't admit to it, but they fall in love with that NCAA tournament tape about what you do when the lights are on, the pressure is on. And, you know, he put Syracuse on his back on an improbable run. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him to move up a little bit more. But everything else, I'm pretty much cool with. You're going to take a little bit of a risk in that teen area. Probably not going to get really an all-star there. You just want to get somebody there that's going to be part of the rotation and fill a need for you. And really everybody just about needs three-point shooting. So I give Rob a lot of credit for the mock.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Good, Rob.
One other tidbit on Scale LeBrocher. You know, I think he will be a good fit with the Bulls too. At 14, you're losing big man
Noah.
He's going to be a free agent. He's pretty much not coming back to the Bulls. And so, you know, you hope he can develop into that kind of player. Like I said, he is kind of raw, you know, coming out of college right now. But he does have that kind of ability where he can be a major player on the defensive end. And if he can just get some kind of offense going, he could be that kind of player on the next level.
And you probably lose the power of ball, too.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say that, too, man. So we'll see how that plays out, man. What was I going to say? I was going to tell you that good mark. I'll give you a lot of credit, too, Rob, because the fact that you really didn't go with your heart and with your head as far as Chris Dunn. I know that's you're a huge fan of Chris Dunn. I'm here to help you, man. I think somehow if Buddy Hield doesn't go number three to Boston, some way, somehow, I'd love to kind of switch that pick for Minnesota and kind of take him off your hands so you can get Chris Dunn, you know, with the Hawks, man. So that's something I would help you out with, too, with that. I do want to say, and that's kind of weird, that it's not going to happen, I don't think, but that's kind of wishful thinking. But there's a word on the street is that Boston is really high. This is going to sound weird on Kevin Love at this point because they think that he's being misused in Cleveland, ironically, and that he's more of a – he's been a double-double machine. They think that they're kind of playing him on the perimeter, and they think that that's kind of what they're missing too. So I don't know. I'm kind of hearing some feedback about that too. So that's kind of like a little tangent as far as that. But, you know, what do you think about that? That may kind of adjust their strategy as well too. Have you heard anything about that, Rob, or what?
Yeah, there's been rumor already out that Danny Ainge has already met with Kevin Love's agent, which is, you know, like, wow.
Tampering.
Still playing
whoa.
He's meeting with the guy.
Yeah.
So that's real interesting right there. But, yeah, that could very well be in play for the Celtics moving Kevin Love. And I think if you're Cleveland, you have to listen because he's obviously not a great fit for this ball club in Cleveland. And I think if you're Cleveland, and I got to give Andre a lot of credit. I remember him saying this a few years ago that he thought Cleveland should have stuck and took Andrew Wiggins. And Andrew Wiggins would be a good fit
this
team, especially right now in this NBA Finals. You can play him at the three. You can play LeBron at the four a lot, which, you know, when it gets to these kind of moments, that's when LeBron is at his best when he's playing the four position. Steph Curry just hits a three, cut the game to 8 points with 9 minutes to go.
Wow.
But, now the question is, what does Boston give up? I think you almost have to give up, which in Cleveland's case, you might can get a young player that can come in and help you right away. And so I think you almost have to give up that number three pick, maybe a player as well to match financially, you know, in this trade because it's such a big, you know, Kevin Love's got a $110 million contract. So you almost have to include a player or possibly two along with that number three pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, thank you for that, too. Go ahead, JQ. I'll let you finish up that, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna throw out there, if you do that, I'm thinking you're probably going to have to give up three. You're going to have to give up that number three. You're probably going to give up Brooklyn's first-round pick next year and Boston's first-round pick next year. So I was going to throw out there, because, I mean, you're going to drive a hard bargain for him. You're going to. My question is, do you take Buddy Hield if you're Cleveland, or do you take Bender?
Bender, probably.
Ooh. I'm thinking probably Bender too because I think when you look at this Cleveland Roy, I don't know.
I think
you go Buddy Hill.
Because if you lose J.R. Smith.
I think you gotta go with Hill there. I think you definitely go Hill. Mm. And Cleveland, down to seven. Golden State, it's another 8-pointer. 8 minutes to go in this game. We got a good one going here. I think if you're Cleveland, if you get that number three pick, I think you got to go Buddy Hield, give yourself another score. I think it gives them another weapon on the perimeter. When you got penetrators like Kyrie and James, you know, give yourself another guy that can knock down a three-point ball. I would go Buddy Hield there. You know, interesting conversation I had with Dale Demps yesterday mentioned to me that, you know, they're really high on Chris Dunn. And, you know, guy with great size, can penetrate, you know, dish the basketball. He's a stat sheet stuffer. But one thing he mentioned to me that he won't work out for any NBA team. So, you know, I wonder, you know, if some teams, you know, obviously you got good college tape on a player. You wonder if teams would be scared to pull a trigger on him just because he don't want to work out for him.
Right. Mike.
Wow! I was gonna say, Rob, I appreciate you showing me some love with the comment about Andrew Wiggins, man. Because I thought you forgot about that, man. But I remember I said that definitely a couple of years ago, and you know, you kind of that's the thing you kind of reach for the now whenever you realize that, you know. And there's no way you can tell the potential of a player, you know. But I just felt like, you know, that was some chemistry issues with them, and we were kind of going back and forth on that too. It's the same thing whenever Golden State was thinking about trading Klay Thompson to, I think, trading away for Kevin Love. And we were, like, kind of going back and forth with that. I was like, no, stay pat, keep it as is. And it actually seemed out to be a good move, too. So sometimes the best move is a move that you don't make. So anyway, I'm just happy that you actually remember that, too. So that was something else, too. There's a report out there, too, guys, that the Cavs wanted Draymond Green to spend it for two more games. And I know JQ is pretty passionate about Draymond and his passion for hitting folks in the nuts. He can't control his legs, JQ. That's all I'm going to say, man. So go ahead, man.
Come on, man. Well, I think Cleveland's tripping for that. I think that'd have been too much. If you do that, you're basically saying we're trying to rig it for LeBron. That's too much. He went over his allotment. You suspended him for the game. I think that was the right thing to do. Two games is just ridiculous. The only way you would do two games is if he had been suspended for his actions against Oklahoma City, where he got suspended for one, then he came back and hit LeBron, and he said, okay, we're going to up it since you don't get the message. But since you didn't suspend him initially against Stephen Adams, you can't come back and say, okay, yeah, we're just going to hit you for two games. I think that would have been too much. But I think the one game was accurate. I think Cleveland looks really whiny by coming out and letting that get out to the public. That's just me.
Yeah, we'll let Rob talk about that, too, because I know he thinks that Jeff Gundy kind of mishandled that, too, as well. And Rob, you know, like I said, you know, Draymond, he can't control his legs, man. He's just playing hard, bro. You know, that's what it's all about.
Stop it. Stop.
You know, if you're Draymond Green, that's almost one of those moves where, you know, a woman gets mad at a man and that's the area where they go for. So,
it's true.
But
that's terrible.
It's true.
Go ahead.
But, you know, Jeff Van Gundy, at the end, you know, we can kind of combine these two topics here, you know, with Jeff Van Gundy's comments. Van Gundy actually thought he should have been suspended for the one against Adams in the Oklahoma City series, but not suspended for the one here in this series against Cleveland.
Yeah,
and
Cleveland.
I actually think they're probably both warranted suspensions. Do I think it was a two-game suspension for this one? No, but I actually think they probably both warranted suspensions. Obviously, that game did not hurt Oklahoma City because they wound up winning game four anyway. But, you know, I think both of them probably were warranted the one-game suspension. And in this case, he was suspended one game. And, of course, in OKC, he was not.
Gentlemen, we got about 7 minutes here. And I was going to say, too, there's one thing I do want to comment because wasn't the league office, there was a couple things that actually went back and reviewed that. And it almost kind of feels NFL-y whenever you have that kind of, oh, we're going to kind of go to the tape and then kind of respond. So I don't know if you were okay with that, JQ, or just kind of like, hey, just kind of let it ride. Or, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I just thought that was kind of interesting as well from that vantage point. I don't know if you kind of heard about how they had to kind of review it again.
Yeah.
They kind of overturned that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes I think you miss it in the flow of a game. I think the refs get caught up in emotion too. But I think it's good to look at it. And plus, he's an habitual line stepper. And, I mean, you know, that's just what it is. He is. He's an habitual line stepper. And, you know, you got to send the
message.
Murphy, you got to calm down. There you
Charlie
go.
Murphy,
you know,
over here.
Habitual
line
stepper. You know, that check him. You know, and then the NBA checked him and suspended him for a game. But, I mean, I think this just is what it is. They just are lucky they were up 3-1. It's really what it is. They got lucky they were up 3-1 in that situation. But you just can't keep doing that. At some point, you got to send a message and say, you just can't keep doing that, bro. I mean, that's just what it is.
I don't think JQ likes Draymond Green. I think it's some type of Ohio State, Michigan-ish kind
of
fishing
face. I like Draymond Green. I like Draymond Green. I think you have to have a Draymond Green on your team. I think you always have to have somebody that can have that kind of versatility, do what he does, and set the tone emotionally for your team. But, you know, you always have to walk a fine line with those kind of players, a la like a Dennis Rodman, where he's going to do those things, he's going to agitate. But there are going to be times where he goes over the line, and then you have to pull him back from that line. That's just what it is. I respect Draymond Green a whole lot. I don't dislike Draymond.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, Rob.
Habitual
line.
Charlie Murphy.
That's classic. I'll let you finish that
Charlie
up.
Charlie Murphy.
You follow the Charlie Murphy. What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap.
Oh.
Oh.
Splash. Sorry.
Rob, let's talk about that really quickly, and then we got about 5 minutes. I know we're going to talk about some potential trade destinations for Derrick Rose. It looks like his run in Chicago is going to come to an end. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of teams there are a lot of teams that's interested in Jimmy Butler for the Bulls, but I think Chicago is going to do all they can to hold on to Jimmy Butler. I think they want to build their franchise around him going forward. But there are some teams that still want to make a, you know, a potential offer to the Bulls for Derrick Rose. Number one, Minnesota. Obviously, Tom Thibodeau is familiar with him, and so he's going to get on the phone and talk to him. Houston Rockets also is another team that has interest in Derrick Rose, possibly partner him up with James Harden. We don't know if Dwight Howard's going to still be with the Rockets, so there's some talk there. And also my New Orleans Pelicans. There's also some talk about the Pelicans offering Omar Asik and Drew Holiday for Derrick Rose in a 2-for-1 deal. So there's some talk there. Also, you have to look at the Indiana Pacers being a potential team as well. And last but not least, another team that's expressing interest is the Orlando Magic in Derrick Rose.
Ooh.
Any thoughts about that, JQ?
The only thing about that is, and I don't know, and help me out here, fellas. If you trade for Derrick Rose, would you get his bird right, considering that he's in a contract year? Because I don't want to give up a ton for Derrick Rose and he just walks away. But if you have his bird rights, then you can offer him the max deal at 5 years, where nobody else can only do 4 years. So I think that's a key part to that, and I just need to look into it some more. So I think that goes real strong into if you trade for him or not, because how do you give up, you know, you got to pay him $20 million or something crazy in his final year, and then he can walk away. So how much are you really going to give up for 1 year of Derrick Rose, right? So I don't know. I think Chicago's in trouble with that. I don't know if they can do that. I don't know if anybody's going to trade anything of value for him because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those kind of deals where the Bulls may try to move on without him, and they'll just try to see what they can get for him. But to answer your question, I don't know if I'm 100% right on this, but the team that acquires him, if he's still under contract, they will acquire his bird rights. Now, if he was a free agent, of course, if he was a free agent this summer, then the Bulls would be the only team that would have a chance at his bird rights.
Ooh, LeBron, talking good stuff to Curry.
it's going to be crazy. All right, gentlemen, Rob, we got about 2 minutes. Let's go ahead and set up the OT portion. As you're setting this up, there's a question. I'm kind of going off topic here because I just saw this headline. I wanted to add this to you, so I apologize for lateness. But there's a report that Nate Robinson was going to try out for the Seattle Seahawks as a defensive back.
He did.
So, you know, he did, yeah. So, sorry, I'm going to bring that. And just I was thinking about that, you know, I think he was definitely out of his element. I don't think he's going to make it. It's kind of a long shot, but – just thought, you know, there's kind of when you're talking about NBA and NFL players, is there a player that you thought that played in the NBA that could have played in the NFL or vice versa? I want to start the OT portion, but think about that, and we'll kind of talk about that too because we're going to talk about training camps and what's been happening in the NFL into the OT portion. So go ahead, Rob. You got about a minute, 40-something seconds. Sorry. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate all of you all for tuning into our show. Unfortunately, we can't give you our OT portion of the show live. So if you click on the same link on tomorrow, we'll be discussing more NBA, a little NFL as well. So definitely click on the same link on tomorrow to catch the rest of the show. On next week, we'll be back to you live on Thursday night again. We'll be coming on the air on the tail end of the NBA draft, catching you up on what's happened with the NBA draft, all the deals and things of that nature. So we're going to be back to you live with a major event on next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time for our friends out here in California. It'll be 8 p.m. Pacific Time. So don't miss it on next Thursday night. And once again, don't forget our OT portion. Click on the same link for it on tomorrow. Good night, people.
JQ.
San Diego. 3 more weeks, man. I can't wait. I can't get here fast enough. I'm trying not to hurry time, but I'm so looking forward to it. I'll see y'all in a little bit.
So you do some parasailing.
Nah, I'm not doing no damn parasailing.
You gotta stay right on the ground. Your horizon.
Hey, man, I'm just going to get up in the air to get on that plane.
Can't be scared, man. Can't be no wuss.
Hey, man, you can call me whatever you want to. I'm going to be walking on the beach with my feet firmly in the sand.
Apologize, America, too. I know I was kind of fast that little wrap. I was trying to get everything out, but we appreciate you, and we are officially jumping right into the OT portion. So we are here, gentlemen. And, yeah, let's talk about that. So first and foremost, the first topic we're going to kick off is the Colts and little AFC North here with the they want Andrew Luck to avoid hits and slide whenever he runs. So, Rob, have you heard anything about this, kind of what's happening with the Colts here and Andrew Luck?
Well, they want him healthy, number one. That was a big disappointment. A lot of teams, a lot of people thought they actually had a shot at going to the Super Bowl last year. But it was kind of hard when you don't have your star quarterback. So, number one, first and foremost, they got to keep Andrew Luck healthy. And I think there's two things that's got to happen. Number one, the Colts got to fix that offensive line. I mean, that's been a major issue for the Indianapolis Colts the last few years, not just
you
last
think?
Season. So, I mean, that's something that they have to continue to fix. They spent a lot of draft picks on the offensive line, and so they're trying to rectify it, but they have to find a way to get some chemistry out of that unit, get them to play better. And number two, Andrew Luck has got to be a little bit smarter as well. You know, when he runs, he's got to stop taking the hits, and I think that's what they've really been trying to stress to him this offseason, to slide more, get out of bounds, protect his body, stay on the field, live another day. And I think that's what they've really been trying to stress to him this particular offseason.
JQ.
Yeah. Sorry for everybody. My phone is blowing up here with the text messages about the game. I totally agree, and I believe they took Ryan Kelly, the center from Alabama, in the first round this year.
Yeah.
They've got to address that, and it's two-pronged. I think you hit it totally on the head there, Rob, is that you got to give him some more protection, even for him in the passing game, but also to get that run game more consistent so he doesn't have to put everything on his shoulders. But he also has to realize that he is the most important player on that team, no doubt. And you got to be smart. You got to be able to pick and choose your spots where you try to get that first down and times where you just get down and live to see another day. And he's still young, so you really feel like he can make those adjustments. But I totally agree. I think both of those are exactly what Indianapolis has to do. Because if you don't look now, but you're looking at the Jaguars that had a fantastic draft and are making really good strides on the defensive side of the ball and with a good young quarterback and a wide receiving core. And then you still got Houston, who added a ton of speed through free agency in the draft. And, oh, yeah, they still got that guy, J.J. Watt, on their team. So that division just got a little bit tougher there. So, yeah, they need him to pick and choose the spots to stay healthy so they can make a legitimate run at the AFC South crown.
Yeah, I think you made a great point there, too, about improving their running game. And you can even also make a case that improving their defense, too, will help them, too. So all of those elements, I think, could go a long way in helping the quarterback.
Yeah.
Good call, guys. Yeah, man. It's I'm gonna have to agree, concur, you know, as far as that, too, because, you know, obviously in quarterback, he's not like Peyton, you know, make sure them guys protect him, too. So he's got a ways to go. Looks like they tried to address that. He's got some weapons. He's definitely the best thing that he needs is definitely a running game, too. So hopefully they'll get that solidified as well, too, guys. So we'll keep that going as well. All right.
Ooh.
I'm like you, JQ.
Oh,
people are.
Steph Curry just got a sixth foul, and he's ejected, and he got a technical.
He just lost his mind. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Come on.
He got
Steph.
A sixth foul, and he just got a technical.
Yeah,
wow.
I ain't never seen him back up like that.
Wow. This is crazy. This is crazy. He's getting frustrated, man. You know, there's a couple calls that I think were kind of questionable, honestly, early on. And you know, you're not going to get certain calls, home cooking and whatnot. But I definitely like the passion. So they better come out and represent and just kind of blow him out, man, if they decide to do that, man. So this is just keep him calm, man. I know he's been getting beat up, man. So anyway.
He got ejected. He got two technicals. Oh, wow. Wow.
You know.
This game 7 is going to be awesome. I'm sorry. This game 7 is going to be awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to take you off topic. That was
I think
no,
we're looking
no,
at a great
they...
game on Sunday night. But Cleveland's got to finish this one off, too. They still got 4 minutes, 22 seconds.
It's setting it up, man. I think they're setting it up, man. Really quickly, I want to hope you guys had a chance. So I apologize for kind of throwing you guys off. My off topic, because I know – JQ, I don't know if you saw that too, Rob, about Nate Robinson trying out for the Seahawks. And, you know, didn't think it was going to happen too. But I think one player that I was thinking about that I would have loved, this is me going back, I was a huge fan of Charlie Ward, man. I know he kind of chose the route to go to to the Knicks, man. And, oh, he's going off, man. Oh.
I think he had a good argument, though. I'm not sure that was a foul.
No, he hit him. No, he hit him initially, but they didn't call the initial foul. And they called the second one, which was not a foul. So they could have got him initially for the when he ran in, he caught LeBron's arm. But the second one they called the foul on was definitely not a foul. Yeah, but I've never seen him.
It was a makeup call.
He might win 45 in game 7.
Ooh.
He's going to be on fire.
This is craziness.
We said, really quickly. We all NBA finals all the time.
I was going to say really quickly regarding my NBA player my player that I thought would have been really great in the NFL was Charlie Ward, man. Even though at the time he was they wouldn't have drafted him, I guess, for whatever reason, black quarterback, whatever. But I think he was one of the most talented quarterbacks coming out of Florida State, and he kind of just decided, I'm going to go play basketball. But I think he could have been a sensational quarterback. That's my guy. So I don't know if you guys had a guy as we move on. We're trying to, like, watch and comment on that too as well, gentlemen.
Yeah, he was just ahead of his time, man. You know, he just was ahead of his time with the whole spread and the read option. He just and the fact that, let's not forget, that they weren't really keen on taking a black quarterback given what he did at Florida State.
Yeah.
I'm not a Seminole fan, but you got to give him credit for what he did. Come on, Draymond. But yeah, absolutely. But I think that's just more than Nate Robinson is a Seattle kid. And, you know, they just gave him a tryout because he's sitting out there. So, you know, why not? What if he comes out there and he shows you something that you didn't know was out there, and then you find a diamond in the rough. And if not, you just say thanks for the tryout and you send him home. There's nothing to be lost for it.
Yeah, Nate Robinson, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but this guy was a heck of a high school football player. One of the best defensive backs in the country. And so you're trying to see if he's still got a little bit of that left, you know, and obviously you're just giving him a look. And, you know, but I think it's still a very slim chance at this, very, very slim chance that he makes the Seahawks team. I think they're just, you know, giving him. And I think as a general manager, head coach, you know, you don't, you know, leave any stones unturned. So if there's a guy out there, you want to give him a look, you know, I think I think Pete Carroll and the guys are doing the right thing by at least giving them a strong look and see what happens. But, yeah, going back to Charlie Ward, I really think I agree with you, Andre. I think he could have played in the NFL. And I think there were some teams interested in him, too. But I think Charlie Ward, if you go back and really remember, he felt like he had a longer career playing basketball. And I think that's the route that he went. And he felt like he had a safer career sticking with basketball. And, you know, we'll never know if that's the, you know, right answer or not that he made. But that's the decision that he made and stuck with it.
But did they want him to switch positions?
No.
So that might also have been a key. Because you know how that works. Like, you come play
positions.
Well,
but,
you know,
in the NBA,
I think, but go ahead, Rob.
You got to realize too that he was a first round pick in the NBA. He was not going to be a first round pick in the NFL, and so I think that has something to do with it too. When you look at a first round pay of an NBA player versus a third, fourth round pick of an NFL player, obviously you could have went out and possibly proved yourself. But when you look at the monetary factor of it all, obviously, he had a greater chance of making more money in the NBA with being a first-round pick.
Charlie Ward, be proud of me, bro. I showed you some love, bro. That's what it's all about, man. Anyway.
No more Florida State
really
talk.
Quickly, I'm sorry. I was going to say really quickly, and just to give credit to Seattle for opening up the camp, too, because Bill Walsh did that, too. He's the late Bill Walsh for the 49ers. He would literally invite everyone to try out and just find players that didn't matter what your background was, and he was able – You could play, man. So I think that's kind of cool. At least they gave Nate Robinson an opportunity here. All right, we got about 6 minutes here. Let's talk about Muhammad Wilkerson. He doesn't feel like the Jets want him anymore, Rob. What do you say to that?
Well, obviously, you know, he's got the franchise tag on him. The Jets have the franchise tag on him. Muhammad doesn't want to play under this one-year franchise tag. He wants a long-term deal. He feels like what the Jets offering is not fair and feels like he's being mistreated. And so I think this is something, these kind of issues work themselves out. I think right about that July 15th mark, right before you start getting into training camp, I would be shocked if the Jets hadn't reached a deal with Muhammad. But obviously, you're playing these games right now. Obviously, some of these organizations trying to lowball players, seeing how low they can get them to sign a deal for. But I think when it's all said and done, this guy's a heck of a defensive lineman, one of the best in the business. And the Jets, especially a defensive coordinator, head coach like Todd Bowles, will be foolish to mess around and not make Muhammad happy.
JQ.
Yeah, but can I just say something real fast about him and Bond? And I get it, you know, your career can be over at any point in time, but when you got us out here selling hundreds upon dollars for PSL, thousands of dollars really, and these tickets and parking, and you come out and say, you know what, it's a slap in the face. I ain't paying for $15 million for a year. Really? That's still $15 million guaranteed. So, I mean, I get it to a point. I know some of it is posturing, but you lose to every man who loves the NFL when you come out there and say it, where we'll never even come close to that unless we hit the Powerball with 12 of our other friends to hit $15 million in a year. And you're going to get it to play 16 games? I mean, come on, bro. It's just got to be a better way to word it.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm sorry.
That's great. That was very well said, too, JQ. I can concur 100%. All right, gentlemen, we are wrapping this episode up here. Robert's favorite team, the Patriots, here. Rob Gronkowski is talking about deflate. I'm just joking. Deflate gate is now getting stupid here. What's your thoughts about that, Rob?
Well, I mean, this one's kind of, you know, I don't know what's going on with it, to be honest with it.
You don't know what to say.
But Rob
Gronkowski,
he said what he said. Obviously, this thing could be going back and forth for a long time. Tom Brady is appealing another decision. So I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction. I think this year the four-game suspension is going to hold, and I don't think it's going to change. So that's just my prediction. I mean, you know, Brady is still fighting it. Whether or not they get a decision done before the season starts, you know, we'll have to see.
JQ, because Rob clearly didn't know what he was just kind of dazing out there. Go ahead, Rob. Or JQ, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, if you know, the NFL really could just say, let's meet in the middle of it too and let it go away. But, I mean, he is, you know, the new NWO, and that is Roger Goodell. He said, I don't care. We're holding on to these four games. Unless you win an appeal, we got you over a barrel at this point. So they're in a strong position of leverage right now, given what's happening in the court system. So they don't really need to settle. But I think it would be in the best interest. And I hate it because I hate Tom Brady. They could spend it for the whole damn year as far as I'm concerned for anything. But you know, to make it go away, you know, and just be done with it and say, okay, meet in the middle of two, and then, you know, you did something wrong. We know you did something wrong. Four may be drastic, meet you with two. Let's get it out the headlines and just move on. It's solid heel work by Roger Goodell.
I love it. Gentlemen, 2 minutes.
No hateration.
Let's wrap up the show. Rob, can you get it in for 30 seconds real quickly about C.J. Anderson and about Mark Sanchez? That was a pretty good quote. So can you do that real quick and then let JQ finish it?
Well,
Nina, go ahead.
C.J. Anderson says, people forget that Mark Sanchez was successful. That's all I got to say. I don't remember him being successful, but go ahead.
But
yeah,
he had
a great defense with the New York Jets. But
you took the words out of my mind. You took the words right out of my mouth with Buff Fumble. Anytime you have a play like that that lives on in infamy, unless you win 5 Super Bowls, bro, you are the Buff Fumble. So the only way you can get rid of that stigma is to go out and play hard and prove people wrong. But outside of that, you are the Butt Fumble. So, you know, just be cool, put your head down, go to work, and let the chips fall where they may.
Rob, go ahead.
But I will
show,
say
man.
This real quick. I would not be surprised if Sanchez is that kind of quarterback that has success toward the end of his career like a Rich Gannon. I still think he's got some of that kind of potential. But we'll have to see if it materializes. But really quick, people, next week, Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, do not miss us. We'll be coming on the air on the tail end of the NBA draft. Don't miss it, people. Good night.
JQ.
Yes, sir. I got to get it. Gannon. That Pat Summerall, baby. Thank you for joining in, everybody, and downloading the podcast for us. Holler at you next week.
America, we appreciate listening. We apologize that we were just so excited about the game. It's still pretty interesting here as we get ready to wrap this up. We know that it's going to game seven here. Sunday's going to be off the chain. I think